When I was in fourth grade, I used to play marbles during recess, at least for a few months. At that time, that was sort of a fad going on among the fourth graders at my elementary school in Thief River Falls. Anyway, so we'd play marbles during recess, but I had one marble in particular that I loved. I loved it so much that I actually put my initials on it with a permanent marker so that if I ever lost it, I could point it to people and show them my initials and reclaim my marble. Well, one day after I had played with my marbles on the playground, I noticed I had lost my favorite marble. Well, a little bit later, during recess, one of my classmates found it. And of course, I quickly showed him the initials on my marble so I could get it back. But guess what my classmate said to me? Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Have you ever encountered that slogan before? You know, in this evil world, we're often tempted to think that we're in control and that we have a right to do things our way no matter how much sorrow our choices cause others. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. That slogan suggests that life is all about finding what we want and then clinging to it with all our might, even if what we want, God says, is sinful. But you know, Jesus takes that worldly slogan and he turns it upside down and inside out. Here's how Jesus might rename that slogan. Jesus might say, finders, weepers, losers, keepers. But that doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, why should we weep if we find what we really want in life? And even more, how can we keep what we lose? Finders, weepers, losers, keepers. In order to understand Jesus' wisdom, we need to carefully examine part of our gospel reading where Jesus says these words. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Now, what does Jesus mean when he says, take up your cross? What does he mean when he says, lose your life and you will find it? Well, let's examine our gospel reading a little more carefully and we will discover the answers. First, later tonight, if you take some time to read the verses that appear immediately before our gospel reading, you will find that our Heavenly Father had given Peter the wisdom to recognize Jesus' true identity. Listen to what Peter says about Jesus. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. By God's grace, Peter gets it right. Jesus is the promised Savior, and even more, he is God in human flesh. However, Peter does not yet understand why Jesus came into the world. You see, Peter was hoping that Jesus would use his almighty power to totally wipe out the oppressive Roman Empire and then give heaven on earth to supposedly worthy Jews like Peter. But then Jesus shocks them all by what he says next. If you recall the beginning of our gospel reading, Jesus tells his disciples that he will soon go to Jerusalem to suffer and die by the hands of the Romans, and that his own people, the Jews, will be the ones who hand him over to the Romans. And then Jesus says, on the third day, he will be raised to life again. Well, Peter is so stunned by this talk about suffering and death that he doesn't even hear the part about the resurrection. All Peter can think to say is, never, Lord! This will never happen to you. But then did you notice that Jesus rebukes Peter for thinking like Satan. You see, the devil had been trying to keep Jesus from his true mission all along. Jesus had come into the world to die and thereby save his people from their sins. That was his Father's plan, and Jesus willingly submitted himself to his Father's plan. But Peter didn't want to hear about his sin, nor did he want to hear about Jesus' death on the cross. You see, Peter had his own plans. In fact, he had plans for Jesus, too. Peter wanted to find his own way. In fact, we see the same thing happening in our Old Testament reading for this evening. Jeremiah was a man chosen to be a prophet of God, and for the most part, he was faithful. But at one point in his ministry, he was being persecuted and rejected by God's people who didn't want to hear his word. And Jeremiah began to feel a little bit bitter. First of all, Jeremiah started to think that maybe God owed him one because, hey, he had been serving God so faithfully. But worst of all, Jeremiah began to doubt if God would even remain faithful to him. So Peter and Jeremiah just didn't get it. But are we not also guilty of these sins? I mean, sometimes we're like Peter. We want things to go our way, and we expect God to make it happen just the way we want it. And sometimes we're like Jeremiah in our Old Testament reading. We think that God owes us one. And if things go badly, we begin to wonder if God's going to be faithful to us. We are no better, are we? That's why Jesus says the following to us. He says, "He who saves his life will lose it." In other words, if we reject God and then try to save ourselves by following our own plans, we will lose it all. Finders, weepers. The question is, how does this sin play itself out in our own lives? Well, one example of this sin is that we may choose to use God's gift of time as we please. You know what I mean. We organize our schedules around things that are important to us. Or maybe we even use our time to do things that we know God says are sinful. But worst of all, we may leave out time for things like prayer, study of God's Word, attendance at services, or other church activities. Then again, maybe we use God's gift of money as we please. You know how it works. We divide up our income around those things that we want. In fact, maybe we even use God's money for things that we know are forbidden by God's Word. And then after we've used God's money as we please, we find that we have little or nothing left over to give to the mission of His church. Even though the Bible teaches us that God should get the first fruits, that means giving to His church should be at the top of our budget. Very often, we sinners have God's church at the bottom of our budget or not even at our budget at all. In addition, there may be certain sins that are pleasing to us, but rather than repenting and asking God to help us stop, we try to find ways to justify those sinful lifestyles and ignore what God says about them. Such sins could be children rebelling against their parents. It could mean cheating on your spouse. It could mean hurting a fellow Christian with gossip and slander. It could mean viewing pornography on the internet. It could mean envying your neighbor's success and being bitter about the fact that he has more than you do. It could even mean abusing food or alcohol or drugs. The list goes on. These are just but a few examples of the way that we try to find our own way in life and ignore God's plan. Finally, we also sin when we try to find our own solutions to the problems of life. When times get hard and tragedy strikes, rather than going to God and trusting His plan, it's tempting to turn our backs on God in bitterness and try to solve our problems ourselves. We either end up becoming arrogant when we do that, or we end up in despair because we've turned away from the Lord. And now we're ready to hear what Jesus means when He says that we need to take up our cross and follow Him. First of all, you need to realize that Jesus went to the cross because He refused to find His own way in life apart from the will of His Father. In other words, Jesus fully submitted to His Father's plan. In fact, while Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just hours before His horrible death, He actually prayed to His Father that if it would be possible for Him to accomplish our salvation in some other way, He'd be open to it. But then Jesus added these crucial words, "Not my will, Father, but your will be done." Jesus took up His cross. He lost His life, and then He found it again on the third day. And the good news I have for you tonight is that He did all of this for you. That's why Jesus tells you to take up your cross. In other words, He wants you to rejoice in God's plan for you. Now, when He says to take up your cross, He doesn't mean that we will literally be crucified. What He means is that Jesus wants you to realize that God's plan for you is what's best, even if it doesn't appear to make sense to you at the time. You see, Jesus knows that there's no hope for us if we find our lives by clinging to our sin and ignoring God's plan. Jesus wants us to realize that we must stop playing God and trust our Father's loving plan for us. And what is God's plan for us? What is the cross He has given us? First, God wants you to agree with Him when His Word exposes the sin in your life. God exposes your evil thoughts and actions for a reason. He does this that you might repent and rejoice in the forgiveness and new life that Jesus longs to give you. That's why Jesus rebuked Peter. That's why God rebukes Jeremiah. That's why God rebukes you and me, that we might acknowledge our sin and then receive the mercy that God longs to give us. God shows us when we're following Satan so that we might turn around and follow Jesus instead. And when He exposes our sin, He points us to Jesus who willingly died on the cross in the place of our damnation. And then He rose from the grave so that through His victory over death, we might find eternal life with God that will last for all eternity. My friends, here's what God is saying to you tonight. He's saying, confess your sins and come to me with your guilt. Because you are forgiven through my Son's death for you. And you have new life because of His resurrection. So let go of your selfish plans and trust me. Lose your sinful life and find a new life in my Son. And my friends, when God begins to fill our hearts with this wonderful gospel, that's when we learn to gradually let go and let God. In fact, here's how the Holy Spirit moves us to pray. Father, I confess to you that I'm a sinner who deserves your wrath. But I believe your promise that I'm your forgiven child because of your Son. Father, help me to live the life you desire for me. Father, you know that there are some things in life that I really, really want. And if you give them to me, that's great. But your will be done. Father, help me to trust that you know what's truly best for me. Father, help me to let go of my sinful plans and discover your plan for my life. Jesus said, he who loses his life will find it. In other words, losers, keepers. If we reject our sinful plans and rejoice in the salvation that Christ has won for us, we will find that we have new life in God's love that will never end. Now, of course, when you follow God in this way, the unbelievers of the world will look at you and shake their heads and go, "Boy, don't they realize they're losing out on so much by following God?" But the truth is that the only thing you're losing is life without God. The only thing you're losing is an eternity of weeping. Instead, you get to keep forever all that really matters. But what about the weeping that we have to face in this life, even though we do follow Jesus? Well, sometimes we weep because we've made sinful choices. The guilt is overbearing and the consequences are overwhelming. Other times we weep because other people sin against us and deliberately hurt us. And then there are times that we weep simply because we live in a fallen world where bad things happen. Now, when we have weeping in our lives, that's when the devil tempts us to solve our problems by finding our own way and turning our backs on God. But my friends, when times get rough and you begin to weep, listen to what your loving Savior says to you. He says, "Finders, keepers." No, it's losers who are keepers. "Come to me, my child. Have you sinned against me? I completely forgive you. Have people hurt you and abused you? I'm here right now to heal you and love you. Do you need guidance in this confusing life and you're wondering where to go? Then let me give you wisdom from my word. Do you feel hopeless? Then take up your cross and follow my plan for your life. Because I won't let you down. I died for you. I conquered death for you. And I will keep you safe for all eternity. Not even death can harm you. You will live again because I now live for you. So follow me and you will lose all that hurts you and you can keep all the good that I give you." That's what Jesus says to us tonight. Now, after the service this evening, you have to go back out into that world where Satan is constantly bombarding you with his sinful slogans. Here's one of Satan's sinful slogans: "Finders, keepers, losers, weepers." But don't listen to the devil. Instead, listen to your Savior. Jesus says, "Finders, weepers, losers, keepers." Amen. Now may the